Blog Talk Radio.
Fries Talk Live starts now. Gillen before Deep Purple got back together, and I think it promulgated that, but
listen,
it was a
you shower with it's, you probably haven't even questioned what bar soap you lather.
Sorry about that, but I'll yell at my producer, but it was talking about racing, you know, that Brands Hatch at the Canal Turn and all that, but it was really about a guy getting hammered at a bar and wrecking his car, but it was a good song. It wasn't recorded very well, but by today's standards, but, you know, in 81, 82, when did that song come out? I don't know. I did have to track the album down because it was an import. I did see that show. It was a pretty good concert. Doing old Sabbath tunes and new Sabbath tunes. And the encore was a Sabbath version of Smoke on the Water. And then Deep Purple got back together with a classic lineup and I got to see that lineup as well with Highway Star and all the other songs that I used to enjoy that I thought I'd never see, because I did see the final version of Deep Purple. It was my first ever concert. Nazareth opened up for him. So David Coverdale, Glenn Hughes, and Tommy Bolin was the guitar player. So when they got back together with the Mark II lineup, I had to go and get as many people as I knew to go with me. And in true to form, after going to a Deep Purple concert, your hearing was impaired for a few days. But anyway, NHRA in action. Down in Charlotte, rained out on Sunday, ran on Monday. Talladega, Cup Series and Truck Series. Truck Series got theirs in. The Cup Series got postponed a day after Stage 1 was rain delayed, so they had to run that on Monday. So everything ran yesterday. So let's start off with the NHRA as they get another round in the NHRA Nationals. I want to give a congratulations to Megan Meyer, who was the first woman to win a top alcohol dragster championship. No small feat for anybody winning a championship, let alone a young girl who's probably going to wind up in Top Fuel or something like that when she climbs the ladder a little bit. Let's see if we can get her on. I got to find her people and book her on. We'd like to get the up-and-comers in. A lot of champions have been on this show, so might as well add another one to the list. Let's start off with Top Fuel. Your number one qualifier was Steve Torrance. He's looking to repeat as champion. So he was able to make it to the finals, facing off against number 10 qualifier, Doug Coletta. Coletta's been on the year himself, having some good runs. So him and Torrance are in that battle for the championship. We'll get to the standings in a little bit. Round one was up against, Torrance was up against Lex June. June did not have a time take the light, so this is pretty much an easy pass for Torrance, who still posted a 374 with a 1 ET. Up against number 8 round, Clay Milliken, who beat Terry McMillan. Those guys have been having a pretty good year amongst themselves, considering where they started a couple of years ago and they weren't even on the chart. It was an 051 off the tree for Torrance, an 059, so pretty even there, but Torrance with a better ET, Milliken with a little bit of traction issues. 374 for Torrance and a 417 for Milliken. Then up against Justin Ashley. Ashley did get Torrance off the tree with an 053 that Torrance is 056. Wasn't much difference. 3/1000ths of a second, which you would call even. But again, Torrance with a 378. Ashley with a 408 sends him into the finals. Kalita, on the other hand, went up against Antron Brown with a round one, 390 to Antron 603. And then up against Leah Pritchett, 061, 063 for Pritchett off the light. And Brown again with a, Colletta with a 374. Leah having issues, 3734. Almost inverted that. Then up against Brittany Force, off the tree pretty even, 67 for Colletta, 68 for Brittany. But Colletta again a 376. Brittany with a 390. Set the stage. And then the final round, Torrance, 031. Almost over. Colletta, 068. So it was almost like Colletta was napping there. And then 377 for Torrance, 409 for Colletta, giving the Wally to Torrance. 369, low ET for Brittany Force. Best reaction time, Steve Torrance in that final round with an 031. And the top speed, Doug Colletta with a 329.5 miles an hour. Off to the funny car. Came down to Robert Height and Fast Jack Beckman. Fast Jack, number one. Up against Dale Creasy in round one. A whole second difference there. Off the tree, the same speed, at the same time, 093s each. Then up against Tommy Johnson Jr. there, 393 with a 2. 077 off the light. 065 for Johnson, but Johnson with a 691. Almost, 3 seconds slower. You know, he had issues. Up against Ron Capps, 071 for Beckman. 083 for Caps, but 395 for Beckman, 402 for Caps. Robert Height, number two qualifier. So you had your number one and your number two going to the finals. 070 off the light for Height. Mike McIntyre, who was a 15th round qualifier, was a 102. Times were pretty close. There was only 7/100ths of a second difference in the ET, but 3/100ths of a second kind of added to the distance off the light. And Height up against Tim Wilkerson, an 077 again. Wilkerson with a 102. Wilkerson with a 392 with a 3. Had a better ET than Height's 392 with a 9. There's that 3/100ths off the light. Cost Wilkerson. He could have moved to the semis, but wasn't the case. Matt Hagen with a 066. The Heights 078 in the semis give him a launch. But that 1/100th difference off the tree did not make up for the 3/100ths deficit down the track. So Height with a 391, the Hagen's 394. Was able to get to the finish line first, setting up the final round. Robert Height, 049. Good launch for him. Beckman, red light with an 080, minus 080, so it was all for naught. Height with a 391. Beckman with a 491, so a whole second slower. Once you hit the red light, no need to burn up the motor. Height goes on to win. Gets another Wally this year. He's in his march for another championship. Low ET of the day was Fast Jack at 386 with a 4. Best reaction time, John Force, 043. Top speed, John Force, 331 miles an hour. That's faster than this. Top fueler, on to the pro stock. Came down to Derek Kramer and Matt Hartford. Eric Enders with another straight number one qualifier. That's third in a row. Looking for her second win in a row. She had a runner-up in her first one in the countdown. Won the second round. I'm looking for another Wally. But it was for naught, because the finals came down to Matt Hartford and Derek Kramer. Hartford was the number four qualifier. Almost a perfect tree in round one against Fernando Cuadra Jr. A 001 with a 018. But the 653 for Hartford was better than the 660 for Cuadra. And Hartford up against Chris McGahey. In the round two, Hartford with an 027, McGahey with an 051, but Hartford had a 654 to McGahey's 726. Then up against Eric Enders, he spanked him off the tree, 016 to his 050. But Hartford with a 653, and Erica had engine problems. Wound up with an 1168. That wasn't the time to do it, but it happens. Poor Erica. It was her birthday last week. Last Tuesday, actually, because I think I wished her a happy birthday on the show and wished her good luck down there, and she was doing pretty good. Well, needless to say, she at least got to the semis. It helps in the points. Kramer was the number 10 qualifier. Went up against Kenny Delco in round one. 041 for Kramer, 054, 068 for Delco with a 657. So Kramer advances up against Jay Coughlin. That would have been a close one. Derek Kramer with an 033. Jay Coughlin, red light with a minus 004. Coughlin, if he would have taken the green off the tree, he probably would have got to the finish. He would have won that because he had a 653 with a 2 versus Kramer's 653 with a 9. So it would have been a photo finish, but nonetheless. So up against... So Kramer moves on to Aaron Stanfield. That's a name I haven't seen before. Kramer 048, Stanfield 061, Kramer with a 653, Stanfield with a 656, sets the finale. Now off the light, Matt Hartford 030, Derek Kramer 036, Matt Hartford 655 with an 8, Derek Kramer 654 with a 1 takes the Wally. Low ET of the day was a 651 with a 9, round one for Erica. Shane Tucker with a minus 005 with the lowest ET. I don't understand that one. I just mentioned that Matt Hartford had a 001 in round one. So Shane Tucker, I think an 001 is quicker than a 005. And top speed, Erica Enders, 212 with a 9. Let's check the motorcycles. No data available at this moment. Let me see if I can go back to the results. Should have just went back a couple pages. ZMAX. Pro Stock Motorcycle, Andrew Hines. Takes the win. Let's go check the standings and see who's where now. After countdown race Number three, Top Fuel. Steve Torrence, 30-point lead over Doug Coletta. Brittany Force, 92 back. Leah Pritchett, 125 back and forth. Mike Salinas, 129 back. There's a battle going right there between fourth and fifth, with Salinas in fifth only 4 points behind Pritchett. Billy Torrence in sixth. Austin Prock, the rookie, in seventh. Richie Crampton in eighth. Antron Brown in ninth. And Clay Milliken in the tenth spot. Right now, Doug Coletta, I said there was a battle between Doug Coletta and Steve Torrence for that title. Three to go. Brittany Force isn't out of it, but she's got a mountain to climb at 92 back. So I'm thinking it's going to come down. Well, it's showing it's going to come down to Coletta and Torrence. In the funny car division, Robert Height expands his lead over Fast Jack Beckman by 44 points. John Force, who was in second, drops to third, 79 back. Ronnie Caps at 90 back is in fourth, so they're all 90 points. Can be made up in three events. So could 79, but it's just interesting to see who's going to win the battle for second, because that's where your tightest battle is. I don't know if they'll catch Robert Height unless he has a bad couple of weeks in a row. But right now, it seems that he's going for his third championship. In the pro stock, Eric Enders climbs to the top spot with consistency. She has a 38-point lead over Jason Lyon and a 39-point lead over Matt Hartford. That's Bo Butner, 67 back, and Derek Kramer, who won the event yesterday, is 88 back. So I'll have to congratulate her on the points lead. And who do we have there? Bo Butner, fourth. Derek Kramer, fifth. And then Jed Coughlin in sixth. Alex Lachlan in seventh. Greg Anderson in eighth. Chris McGahey, ninth. And Val Smelling is in tenth. So, going to come down to just a couple there with Farrick. It can hold on. She could win her third championship, which would be... It might put her as the only woman in motorsports with more than two championships. I think Shirley Muldowney has two. I think Angel Sampe in motorcycle has two. So this could break the tie. Then Pro Stock Bikes. Andrew Hines up at the top, go figure. Karen Stouffer, 57 back. In second, there's your battle right there. Eddie Krawick in third is 115 back. So I think he's pretty much out of it with three to go. But stranger things have happened. He might get back to second. But the battle right now is Karen Stouffer and Andrew Hines. Eddie Krawick is third. Jerry Savoy, fourth. Hector Arana Jr. is fifth. Matt Smith, sixth. Angel Sampe is seventh. She is the winningest woman in drag racing. But she had a couple years off, and she's now went from one team to another. But the team she's with are usually in the top two. Vance Hines, Harley Davidson. So that's Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick's team. So they're all teammates. So once she gets used to things, she'll be battling her teammates up at the top. In eighth, Angie Smith. Ryan Oler in 9th, and Hector Arana Sr. in 10th. And there are your major series in NHRA. Well, a couple of interesting things happen. Ricky Stenhouse will not be with Roush Racing after this year. He has an announcement here. I think they had on Friday, so let's see what Stenhouse had to say, if he's driving for somebody else already. You know, silly season always starts earlier than the end of the season. When somebody knows they're out, then they can go find something else. Here's
Stenhouse. We are going to go ahead and continue with our media availabilities for today. We are now joined by Ricky Stenhouse Jr., driver of the number 17 Sunny D Ford for Roush Fenway Racing. Thanks for joining us, Ricky. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Please raise your hand if you have one. We'll get a mic over to you. We'll start here in the front with Bob.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports. What has been the interest from other teams in you in the last couple of weeks, and how much does it, do you feel like a good performance here means to your future?
I don't know if you can say, like, my whole future depends on a race here at Talladega. You can easily win one, you can easily lose one, and, you know, but us and my team right now are putting a lot of emphasis on this. Just want to get another win for the group of guys that, you know, I've worked with for a long time, and, you know, I know we got a good shot at it. Brian and the guys always, you know, bring a really good car here. Jimmy's, you know, been working tirelessly on this, and, you know, and Doug always gives us, you know, great horsepower here to get the job done. So for us in the 17 team, that's what, you know, we've been focused on. That's what I've been focused on. I let, you know, my team off the track, not at Roush, but agent-wise, kind of handle everything beyond that, and what we're going to do for next year and the options, and, you know, just trying to figure that out. It's not a quick process by any means. You know, we've talked to different teams, and just trying to wait and kind of see, you know, what direction we go. And, you know, but for me, it's, you know, obviously since the week of Charlotte, just trying to put solid weekends together. You know, I thought we did a good job at the Roval, for that being not a great track for us. Dover last weekend, we showed that we had decent speed at times. I felt like we kind of performed as well as we could. And so that was, you know, really kind of our main objective with health. You know, everything played out. We did the best we could, I felt like. You know, here at Talladega, I feel like I'm going to give it all I got, try and get another win for, like I said, my guys. And it's the last shot that I get to, you know, put Sonny D in victory lane. And I got a great relationship with them, you know, obviously on the track, off the track, hang out with them a lot. So it'd be cool to get them a victory here this weekend.
We're going to come over here to the left, Steve. And then to the middle to Jordan.
Steve Post, Motor Racing Network. Ricky, this type of racing has evolved, or what we've seen this year, Talladega in the spring, Daytona in July, a lot of manufacturer cooperation there. How does that work? Do we expect more of the same of that? Just kind of take us inside that as far as representative of one of the Ford teams.
Yeah, I think, you know, us at Ford have done a great job at that. I think we kind of, you know, I mean, heck, I think we won 7, 8, 9 in a row, whatever it was. And it was all working together. It was, you know, having some meetings together and just, you know, just understand what the, you know, whole objective is, you know, for the day. And that's really the big thing is, you know, what's the objective and you know, what's the best way to accomplish that. So I feel like, you know, you know, us and the Ford teams were really on the front side of that, of, you know, really working together and, you know, showing that it can pay off. And then, you know, at times since then, I feel like, you know, other manufacturers has done a good job, and, you know, it makes it tough now trying to, you know, guess when to pit, you know, when's the right time to pit, you know, getting the draft from, you know, the cars that stayed out, you know, what's the fastest route to, you know, pit under green and get back out there. So that's something that they've continued to look at, you know, teams, manufacturers, you know, all together. So it's created a different dynamic a little bit. You know, you can't just get yourself in the outside lane and, you know, start leading the race and then all of a sudden need to get down to the bottom lane to pit. So there's a lot of strategy that goes into it.
We'll go to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. What's it like for a driver in terms of in meeting competition meetings, interacting with your teammates in the final weeks with it or with a team before you're moving on?
Yeah, Charlotte, I decided I was not going to go. It probably wasn't a good week for me to go to my competition meeting. Since then, you know, I call, give them feedback, you know, let them know how my race was going. You know, and then also, you know, we have meetings on the weekend. So, like last week at Dover, I went to them and, you know, just still trying to, you know, gather all the information that I can to make our team better for that weekend. And, you know, then again, turn around and doing it the next week. So, there's definitely meetings I'm not allowed to be in anymore. Just kind of what, you know, the way it worked at Roush is we had competition meetings, individual team meetings, and then we'd have a big competition meeting with, you know, the front row guys and everybody. And then after that, it would be a, you know, kind of a engineering based meeting of, you know, what we're working on, what's coming down the pipeline. And that's just things that, you know, to keep us kind of drivers engaged and kind of focused on what we were working on. So those are the ones I can't be on.
There's Ricky Stenhouse. So far, nothing lined up for next season, but we'll see what happens. Okay, there was a Talladega transformation project presented by Gray Bar Recap. I wonder what that's about. These are the inside things you don't get to see as you're watching on TV. The media gets in there. I've been at these things before, and some of them are fun. People announce a new sponsor for the event or whatever, but I wonder how they're transforming Talladega. Unless it's in the city and not the track.
Okay, everybody. First of all, I hope everyone is enjoying themselves here at the greatest racetrack on the planet. I hope everyone has gone inside and been able to see a lot of things that we've done here with a lot of different things. The Talladega Garage Experience has been the center point of what we've done as far as the transformation project. And again, we started everything. We broke ground on everything that you have seen so far today. We broke ground on that 1 year ago. And you know, phase one was a tunnel, and we also had some RV spaces with our Finish Line Premium RV. That was done in the spring. And then for this fall, if you've gone out inside the new Cup Garage area, you've seen something that I think is pretty spectacular, and we hope that everyone here enjoys it. But the trio up here, really the folks who led the charge on it, from our International Speedway Corporation design and development team, on my far right is Paul Bellis. To my near right is Bruce Ryan, and in the center is the man with the long-billed hat, one Grant Lynch. So anyway, we're thrilled to have those three here. And Grant, I'll let you lead off. I think everyone knows here that this is Grant's swan song. This is his last race here. He's been here for over 26 years, and he wanted to go out in a blaze of glory. And I think he has done that, leading the charge here with the transformation project presented by Gray Bar. Grant?
Yeah. And we do want to thank Gray Bar because they came on board first and jumped behind the transformation. And it's been a long, hard process. And to see what we were able to accomplish and what we've been able to build, I think most of you that have probably been over there, you've seen that we are going to be immersing fans in the epicenter of NASCAR with the fact that the top 22 teams on both sides of Big Bill's Social Club, we'll have the top 22 teams in the sport. So we're just as pumped up as we can be. The folks that we're talking to as they're going in and out of it are kind of mesmerized by the size and scope and magnitude of it. And so all I can say is we think we're delivering on our promise to give the fans something special here at Talladega, and the examples is right back there behind us.
Paul, I know you and Bruce both have been here a lot, traveling back and forth from Florida. What was the biggest challenge that you saw, again, overseeing the project with the construction side of things?
Yeah, basically back in April when we had a similar meeting like this.
Press announcement back during our spring weekend.
Yeah. We said it was going to be a tough schedule, and it was. I mean, this is the fastest we've ever built one of these fan zones, and this is about our fifth iteration of these types of projects, and every time we try to refine it and do more and make it more engaging for the fans and really bring something that's like on that next level. So trying to do that in a project where it's about a month shorter than any of the other ones that we've ever done was we knew it would be a big challenge, and it has been. But we're really, really thankful for the local community and all the great contractors we've had from this state who participated in this project. I mean, these guys were out there working literally 7 days a week, 12-hour days to make this thing happen. And we're very proud of what we've accomplished. Yep.
Bruce, I know you've been a lot more involved with the integral parts of the design, whether it be colors, whether it be what kinds of furniture we had, et cetera. What was the challenges for you and what you saw, but then what has been the rewards from it?
Well, definitely the reward is, you know, when you first have that vision, maybe a year and a half ago, and you see it on paper and you start talking to everybody and said, okay, what do we really want Talladega to be? And so we kind of created this vision, and now to see, you know, through this, you know, tough period of, you know, construction, and we've talked about like Paul is seeing, and then now seeing it completed and seeing the fans enjoying themselves, there's nothing like that from I'm an architect from a, you know, trade, and seeing that happen, it's very, very, very rewarding.
For those of you who don't know, the epicenter of it is a 35,000 square foot open air facility named Big Bill's after Bill France Sr., who built this racetrack. Over 140,000 foot of social atmosphere, a Gatorade victory lane that we feel like it's going to be really cool. The fact that the driver will drive in nose first, sort of like the way it was here in the 70s and midway through the 1980s. But anyway, we're very excited about it. And to go in there and see a lot of the folks that we've seen as far as the fans go today with a smile on their face, it's been very rewarding. So any questions?
I'm going to have a transformation of Talladega. I guess I got a fan area now. Kind of like Dover's fan zone, but Dover's a little more cozy. Talladega's the biggest track in the circuit at 2.66 miles. There's a lot of infield space. So, anyway, trucks in action. To give a shout out to Natalie Decker, finishing 16th. It's her first year in the truck series, and she's learning. But, you know, when you got a bunch of seasoned veterans running ahead of you, including playoff-bound individuals, 16th isn't so bad. Jennifer Jo Cobb. And Angela Ruck was... who used to be Angela Cope in the Ruck Life Chevrolet. She did her and her sister, Amber, were on the show years ago, but I wasn't the host of that, the Thursday edition, so. But they were on and talking about things, so let's just see if we can get them on. But anyway, it is the Truck Series playoffs, and we're down to six, so here's how it goes. Spencer Boyd takes the win. Led one time for one lap out of the 98 run, the important one. got playoff points, but he's not in the playoffs, so I don't know why they give you playoff points. He didn't win any stages, but he did win the race. Todd Gilliland takes the second spot. Riley Herbst in third. The first playoff contender, fourth, Brett Moffitt. Stuart Friesen in fifth. He's in the playoffs. Austin Hill, sixth. Playoffs. Tyler Ankrum, seventh in the playoffs, and eighth, Matt Crafton. Ninth is Sheldon Creed, and Grant Enfinger rounds out the top 10. The race took 2 hours, 7 minutes, 21 seconds. Average speed, 122.817. Margin of victory, 0.027. It was a close one, folks. It was Spencer Boyd's first victory in 23 Truck Series races. And his first victory this year, so congratulations to him. If you would have got him earlier in the season, he would have made the playoffs. But there were 24 lead changes among 16 drivers. Your biggest lap leader was Johnny Sauter, four times for 28 laps. And Sheldon Creed, twice for 20 laps. Everybody else in single digits. Seven cautions for 29 laps. A red flag for 8 minutes and 16 seconds due to a spin from the 18 in the tri-oval. And then you had your two-stage conclusions for 5 laps each. So it's fairly clean when you'll have 19 incident caution laps. So it wasn't so bad. Right now, your points as they sit, Brett Moffitt leads your points. Stuart Friesen in second. Austin Hill in third. Matt Crafton fourth. Tyler Ankrum fifth. Ross Chastain in sixth. Johnny Sauter and Grant Enfinger were eliminated. So we're down to six. And we'll have a few more races, and then we'll be down to four for the final one. So I know the trucks are going to Martinsville in a couple weeks. So there's a chance for somebody to lock in there. Let's hear from our winner, Spence Boyd. With his truck owner, Tyler Young.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with our post-race availability. We have today's winner, Spencer Boyd, driver of the number 20 Alabama Roofing Professional Chevrolet for Young Motorsport, and the truck owner, Tyler Young. This is Spencer Boyd's first victory in the NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series. Let's just go ahead and, Spencer, tell us about your win. How does this mean to you?
Yeah, you know, the first one you always dream of since a little kid. It's pretty crazy. I've been a race fan for a long time and been racing since I was 5, so 24 now. To go get that win with Young's Motorsports, I've been driving the 20 most of the year, and this deal came together pretty late to drive this Alabama Roofing Professional Chevy this weekend, and it was a total team effort. We worked really hard. The truck drafted really well, and just driving for a family-owned team, Tyler Young, his parents, Becky and Randy, worked so hard, and it's a pleasure to be here at Talladega.
Tyler? He opened the floor. Go ahead.
Man, he did a great job. You know how this place is. We love coming here because you never know what's going to happen. And opportunities like that always come, you know, at speedway races. So Chevrolet had a good plan, and we stuck to the plan all day. And I'm just glad to give him a win here.
All right, we'll go ahead and open up to media questions. Please state your name and your affiliation. We'll go to Holly right here. And then we'll go in the back.
Holly Kane, the NASCAR Wire Service. Congratulations. I was standing on pit road and watched you pass Johnny to go down and be able to do your burnout and everything. What were your emotions like, and how were you told you're the race winner?
Yeah, so one of my crew guys ran up and was like, man, great job. You just won the race. And I'm like, what? We won? I couldn't believe it. I knew it was under review. It's one of them things, you take a W as you can get them. First victory is pretty sweet coming at Talladega, and I was just in shock. You know, I was excited for our small team finishing second. We bested our finish of fourth at Daytona, same truck, bring it here. We were second, and we end up winning the race. So really special. I know it means a lot to the team, and you know how Super Speedway racing is. So it's a total team effort, building a great truck, Freddie up on fodder stand doing a great job telling me where to go, and me just getting a hold of the wheel of a pretty bad-to-the-bone Chevy Silverado this weekend.
Get back here.
Jacob Thielman, Speed Sports, one for each of you. I'll start with Spencer, because what ended up being your move for the win was you three wide coming to the line with, I think, the 4 and the 51 it was. That started ahead of you. What did you see? What was your perspective going through the trial on that last lap?
Yeah, they were disrupting the air a lot, and I got this huge run, and I was like, man, do I push the 51? And I kind of got up to him, and then I felt a surge, and I was like, forget it, you know, I'm just going to pull out and try and pass, and I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I just pushed him to the wind. So it worked out in our favor, and I've known you a long time, so the fact that we're sitting here talking to Victory Lane is pretty special.
Tyler, for you, you got to go all the way back to Pro Cup in 2012, the last time equipment owned by your family went to Victory Lane. That was at Hickory. For as much, you know, blood, sweat, guts, tears that your family's put into this deal 7 years later, is a win like this worth the wait?
Man, I told my dad on the phone at Victory Lane, I told him thank you for not giving up on us. Spencer did an awesome job. He's been with us all year. We've become best friends throughout the year, and I think that helps. So, you know, you wonder if it's ever going to come. So, a lot of hard work, a lot of employees, a lot of people that put their heart and soul in this company and didn't give up on me or my team or my dream. It made it all worthwhile. And you didn't show up to Victory Lane. I told you to be there.
Okay, we'll come up to Alan.
Alan Cavana, Fox Sports. I mean, fourth and a win on Super Speedways. That's not an accident.
Stock's,
I mean,
going up.
but that's not an accident. Where do you think that skill came from to be so good at these tracks?
Yeah, you know, it's a team effort, like we said, but surrounding yourself with good people. I've been lucky that great people have taken a chance to work with me. You know, Freddie Kraft up in the stand, I mean, he's a cup guy. So the opportunity to have him in my ear, and then Tyler, he gives me great equipment, and all the guys at the shop give me great equipment. And they say, hey, be smart throughout most of the race. We've kept that strategy at Daytona and Talladega, and it's paid off for us. Get aggressive the last couple laps. And we know this racing, you know, is a lot about luck at these speedways, and I've been lucky this year, so I'll take it. There's a lot of ups and downs in this racing world, so we'll ride the wave of this for sure, and just Talladega, I mean, I can't wait to celebrate here in a little bit.
All right, let's go to the one in the back.
Yeah, Spencer, Al Muskie with East Alabama Sports Today, kind of two-piecer. I know it was a lot of stuff was happening real fast at the end. As you were making that move, did you know what was going on to the left of you between those two guys going through the line? And secondly, have you ever been part of such a bizarre finish in a race before?
Oh, man. So first question, I could see them getting real racy and getting on each other's quarters and dragging each other back, which was packing a big hole for me to be able to move up and take the run. But I knew what they were doing. I just wanted to stay in their wake and get a good draft and pull up next to him and just steal it from him, more or less. So I knew what was going on, but those last few laps, just staying in the top 10, you know, Freddie and I were talking after that red flag. We're like, we just need to stay in the top 10, stay in contention here. We were getting such good runs with Chevrolet through the middle and then moving up to the top and just kind of dumping a couple people out. And that was great. Now, bizarre finish. I've been a part of a few, not quite like this, but I've had some controversial wins, so this one not so controversial on my side, so I'll take it.
There you have Spencer Boyd. Won the Sugarland Shine 250 at Talladega. Okay, the main event postponed after stage one. Continued 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon when all was said and done in a photo finish. We're talking inches. Brian Blaney in the number 12 Penske Ford who's in the playoffs, by the way, locks in to the round of eight. Ford, Roush Ford, number six driver. Ryan Newman was that close second. Denny Hamlin was third. Eric Amarola was fourth. Michael McDowell was fifth. Good run for Michael. Austin Dillon was sixth. Corey LaJoie, good run for him, seventh. Chase Elliott, who was your pole sitter, in eighth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., ninth. Of course, he's going to be out of the ride next year. Rounding out the top 10, Ty Dillon. So other playoff guys having a bad day. But then again, it's Talladega. Brendan Gaughan did the pirouette, landing on his wheels. Whenever the big one happens, somebody gets airborne and flips around. Race took 3 hours, 39 minutes, and 35 seconds. Is that the whole race? Or yesterday's two stages. That's probably the whole race anyway. Average speed, 136.664. Margin of victory. I said it was close. 0.07 of a second. That's a .007. There were 46 lead changes amongst 19 drivers, with Ryan Blaney leading the most laps, 35, three times. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., four times for 32 laps. I think both of his race wins were at super speedways, Talladega and Daytona. Brad Keselowski led 22 laps, and you go down the... Chase Elliott with 19 led, Kurt Busch with 16 led, Joey Logano 16 led, and they had William Byron and Clint Bowyer with 13 each led. So that's eight people in double digits on laps led. Nine cautions for 43 laps. 12 of those were stage conclusions. There were six laps each there. The rest were for incidents. So, but the last big one coming on lap 183 to 186, which left you a green-white checker finish. Therefore, that's why the race was close. It was Blaney's third victory in 157 Cup Series races. His first victory in 15th top 10 this year. So he got into the playoffs on points. But he gets the win at a crucial time at a tough track to make it into the round of eight. So good for Ryan, good for Team Penske. And who knows? If everything goes well for Ryan Blaney, he could be the second Penske Team Penske driver in 2 years to win a championship. Joey Logano doing it last season. Right now, though, as the points sit, Denny Hamlin sits atop the points. Martin Truex is second. Kyle Busch is third. Kevin Harvick fourth. Fifth, Brad Keselowski. Sixth, Joey Logano. Seventh, Kyle Larson. Eighth, Alex Bowman, who got wrecked yesterday as well. Ryan Blaney is ninth, but like I said, he's locked in along with Hamlin. Chase Elliott is 10th. Clint Bowyer 11th. And on the bubble right now is William Byron. So he's got a big hill to climb there. He's, gee. That's a pretty tight battle between... 8th and 12th. So 8th is the cutoff. Alex Bowman has that with 3,058 points. So William Byron, who was running pretty good in the 24, he only has to gain, 7 points. Kyle Larson in seventh is basically 20 points ahead of Byron, but 7 points between the bubble and the and being eliminated. There's a good battle going on there. We'll have to wait and see what happens in Kansas. Let's hear from Ryan Blaney and his big win.
Real quiet in here.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue with our post-race media availabilities. We now have the race-winning driver, Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12, Dent Wizard Ford for Team Penske. We'll go ahead and open up the questions. We'll start here with Jordan in the front.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. When Newman passed you out of four, he built up just a little bit of an advantage. Did you think you were going to be able to get back to him, or did you think that was it? Can you kind of walk me through that there?
Yeah, so they're really the last lap. You know, I saw the 11 and 6 coming on the top, down the back. They were tandem together. And I saw them coming, and I wanted to pull up, but they were coming so much faster than us that if I would have pulled up and tried to block them, they just would have split me. You can't block runs like you used to with this package. There's none of that really none of that air bubble anymore that we used to talk about. You just run through the guy's bumper. So, and the runs are a lot larger, especially when you tandem like they did. So I figured my best bet was to try to pull the 11 off of them. And that's kind of what I did. You know, luckily I was able to get to the 11th quarter panel in three, pull him off the six, and then I knew Eric Amarola was going to come push me through to the bottom, and then we both would be clear, and then it's just all about making a move. You know, and hopefully you make the right move at the right time on the front stretch there, and that one just happened to work out. But I knew if I could separate them and stay on the bottom and come out second, we had a shot at Newman. So.
Okay, let's go back here to Jacob and then over here to the man.
Jacob Thielman, Speed Sport. Ryan, two questions. First, after last week having the suspension issue and being pretty buried coming in here, how much of a relief now is it knowing that you're on, there's no stress at Kansas, you're through to the next round?
Well, it's huge. You know, I mean, after last week having that trouble with the, you know, some parts breaking, our mindset was really we had to win one of these two races. I mean, we were so far back in points. I know Talladega's a wild card. There's a lot of wrecks today, and a lot of guys got tore up, but we didn't really get any stage points, and we were already pretty far behind the eight ball. So we knew we had to probably win one of these 2 weeks, and it's just a huge relief. I mean, after having such a bad weekend last week, it's nice to get a win and lock you into the next round for sure, but you still go out and try to win Kansas. You know, I mean, it's not – you're not relaxing in Kansas. You still try to go out and win that race. But really big weekend for our team after the troubles we had last week.
Now,
there you have Ryan Blaney. Speaking of Kansas, being we're almost out of time, let's see who we got. Earlier this year, his teammate Brad Keselowski took the win. He only led 12 laps. Your biggest lap leader was another Ford, Kevin Harvick, who I picked to sneak in Talladega. But it didn't happen. And this playoff race last year was Chase Elliott. Only led 44 laps. The big lap leader that year, last year, was Joey Logano, with Harvick leading 76. So, makes it kind of interesting. Kyle Busch was second. And this year was Keselowski, Bowman, and Jones. Kyle Busch had a rough time. We're not going to see him. 30th, starting 8th. Not a good day for Kyle Busch, so had some issues. I'm not going to pick Kyle Busch because he's been inconsistent there. But the consistent guy in both events, between this year and last year, the guy that won last year, and he was fourth this year, Chase Elliott. So that's who I'm going with for this coming week at Kansas, for his chance to lock in. So let's take a peek. And he probably needs this as well. Well, that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. I'm Vinny. See you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.